And I can't exactly say I'm happy old here. But I've been thinking about this evening for some time and wondering how to bring practice into volume. Okay. Higher. Move this up. Better? Better? Much better. Okay. But I'm delighted that we're all here meditating when we could be out partying. So I was reflecting on what to talk about tonight, and I thought that what dawned on me is that we have a focus. Us humans love new beginnings. We love the thought of out with the old, in with the new, that somehow we can strip down everything that belongs to the past and come out newborn. That there's a longing and a yearning for letting go of things that seem to entrap us. And there's nothing that replicates, that represents that yearning more than the celebration of the new year. At the same time, we can't help but notice that all the resolutions and all the yearnings and all the dedications that we make at this time of the year don't seem to necessarily pan out, at least not the way we intended them. So what's going on, right? And it reminds me of people's observations of the first truth in the practice. I'd rather call it practice than Buddhism. And then practice is that everything is constantly changing. But we also encounter the fact that really the things that we want to change just don't seem to, especially inside of us and inside of the people that we're closest to. So what does it mean to have a new beginning, to want so desperately to let go of the routines and the habituated experiences that know bring us frustration and lack of ease? When it seems that they're so sticky, that they're so heavy, that they just predominate in staying with us. So I think that's one of the reasons that we like to party hardy. We have the feeling that we can cast off the disciplines of the week and of the work and our responsibilities, and we can have lots of bubbly champagne and lots of loud music, and we can kind of dance away our imprisoning chains. The one Buddhist country, Thailand, that I know of has a very interesting ritual to end the old year and to bring in the new year. They have a 24-hour period, one day in between, that is called no time. And I don't know what they do with their calendar. They must do something magical with it. I'll research that and tell you. But what happens in no time day is anything and everything. The sky's the limit. So people imagine it must be total anarchy in the country of Thailand, although it's not. But it also speaks to me of people's desire to break free, to start anew, to disrupt the patterns that just cycle over and over again in our lives. And it occurs to me that the whole concept of 365 days, the way that the sun goes around, I mean, the way that we go around the sun, excuse me, Copernicus, actually creates those cycles, creates those circular reiterations, and an hour, a minute, our birthday, 4 years in college, 2 years in graduate school. We have a way of slicing things into time slots as an articulation of our lives that is to convenience us, really, if you think about it, in moving forward and engaging with each other, creating society and culture. And at the same time, it traps us in circularity. Every year, the old year goes and the new year arrives. Every year, we have the feeling that we're going to be able to fully, fully resolve to change something fundamental in ourselves. Every year, we yearn to have a rebirth and to have some revolutionary change happen, life-changing experience. So we are now approaching that time between 2013 and 2014 when we can turn that wheel again and introduce the possibility of having something completely different happen to us that has been going on in the last 12 months. So I wonder, how realistic is that, really? How much do we have to celebrate? How drunk do we have to get? How many people do we have to party and dance with to really kick the habits and the views that keep us locked into these cycles that we want so desperately to be liberated from? Isn't that the reason that we come here every week? For liberation from the familiar, from the known, from the old, from the things that tax us, make us unhappy, make us bored, make us feel like there's nothing new under the sun. So I was wondering, what are the ways that we pin down these cyclical, reiterative cycles in ourselves? And one of the main ideas, concepts that came up for me was views, our views of ourselves, of others, of what's possible, our identification. And I was wondering if anybody here, including myself, was ready to identify three fundamental views inside of ourselves that we are willing to renounce. That would be one way of creating a sharp intention to actually modify ourselves in a direction that we at this moment think would be good. I mean, it's just an experiment. If we find that we've dropped the wrong view and we really should have held on to it, we can always take it back. But so to identify three views, for example, running through my own experience, that I hold, and how to identify them, when is the last time I had conflict with somebody? That's a good place to identify a view. They're wrong, I'm right. There was a particular conflict where I really could identify the view that I held. And when I, driving here, thought about, can I let it go? Can I drop it? What would happen to my world? Would the bottom fall out of my life if I let it go? I realized, no, it wouldn't. And in fact, it's a wrong view. Now that I look at it that consciously, that carefully, why hold on to it? But things are habituated in us, and they kind of come up before we really realize that they're driving our bus, so to speak. So it takes a steady, moment-to-moment, attentive view to appreciate that we can loosen the things that we think are absolutely so. And I guess the word here that's important is absolutely. Is there anything that we can say is absolutely the way we believe it to be? That we're willing to fight for it? That we're willing to confine our life force within the limits of that view and meet whatever life brings to us through the perspective of that view? And do we understand that it's that tendency in us that gives us this yearning to break free and break out? The other thing that's true about tonight, somebody told me, and I think it's true, I'm willing to let it go, is that it's also a new moon. So it's a new moon in a new year. So there's extra auspicious tendencies for us to actually be able to release some old garbage, release old stuff, and let it go. I know Green Gulch, the Zen Center in Marin, that's what they do on the new year. They have a bonfire, and at 12 o'clock, people write down things that they want to release from themselves, and they throw it in the fire. It's symbolic, but it's meaningful because, you know, it's something to stand out there on December 31st, close to Muir Beach. It can be cold. There's not a lot of light. The moon is new tonight. So it's a dedication and an effort, just like coming here is a dedication and an effort to find those things inside of ourselves that really could be thrown out. Like moving from one apartment to another, you know? You start opening the cupboards and you realize there's all this gunk, all this stuff that you haven't used for years and years, but you've kept it there and it's hidden in the shadows, but it takes its space. It collects dust. It has an impact on our space. And so we look at it and we say, I don't really need this anymore. I'll find somebody to give it to, or I'll recycle it, or I'll burn it. The great thing about meditation as a practice is that every time that we sit is an opportunity to clear out those cupboards inside of ourselves and to renew, to feel that lightness, to feel the things that we can let go of, the things that are cramping our style, keeping our energy from flowing, keeping us from enjoying ourselves more thoroughly and allowing other people to enjoy us a little more too. Because our experience obviously impacts so many other people's experience and the whole world, that, you know, to clean out every now and then is really useful. Literally a lightening up process. And what came to my visual field thinking about this were the art of Japan and China. How they innovated art by creating space on the paper. Literally space on the paper where they didn't draw with ink or with colors. They just left it untouched and created an atmosphere that brought the images that they did draw that much more dramatically to the forefront. So, willingness to let go of views that we hold on to, willingness to make space and not clutter it with more stuff, more views, willingness to rise above our opinions, our self-identifications, the way that we see other people, and in that letting go, to allow it to just be space, just be clear, don't draw anything in there. What is it like to pause and let the pause expand? Keep expanding. Keep expanding. And let the articulations be fine and more significant and more powerful, truer, because they are limited. They are refined. They are managed by letting go and emptying out. So if I were to ask you, what are some views that you've noticed you run up against that cramp your style, that create conflict between you and the people that you have in your personal life or in your work life? If you could identify some of them, do you know what they would be? Oh, some people are saying yes. So you've been thinking about this. You've been noticing. So what would it take to begin to excavate those views and just let them dissolve? Let's just take a few minutes and see if we can point our intention on some of those views and just watch them dissolve and imagine what your life would be like without them. Not replaced with other views, just leaving it spacious, breathing into it openly. Just take a few minutes. And then I'm going to ask you. So, has anybody come up with some views that they would be willing to share? Because sometimes it's nice to actually voice it and be witnessed in renunciation like this. Anybody like to share a personal view or two that they're willing to drop in order to ease the flow of the happiness of their lives? Yeah.
So thinking
you're right politically. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay. Not supporting, not sustaining it. It's hard work sustaining views, especially views of ourselves. And political views are really important, you know, to be willing to be soft on. I actually, that was what I did with myself, was softening up on political views, because I just recently, well, in the last year and a half, 2 years, discovered 14 cousins I didn't know I had. And half of them live in Israel. And I had certain views about Israeli politics that I realized I'm not going to do well introducing myself to these people holding these rigid views about Israel and the politics with the Palestinians and the whole thing, everything. I had a long list of grievances that I had to drop in order to listen fully and open-heartedly to their perspective. They live there, they have little kids, their kids are going into the army. You know, they're paying their dues. And I I went through that process before I actually met them in person so that I could be, you know, even-handed and open-hearted and not just say, oh, you know, let's sit down and talk about your politics. First thing, right off the bat. And interestingly enough, after a while, it's been about a year and a half to 2 years, after a while, the conversation does bring itself to the topics that I was concerned with from a political perspective, but they arose without any animosity. They arose easefully. We could have open conversation. It was really heartfelt. It was empathic. I understood their position. They understood mine. And we ended up not really taking any positions, either of us, from either side. So we really did renounce not just the politics, but the positioning, period. And it was such a relief. So, yeah. And there is a renewal there. It's kind of like all of a sudden there was a roadblock that has moved, and now things can flow more easily. And in that flow, there's revelation. You have new perspective. You have new information. And sometimes you even get wise in the process. So thank you for sharing. Pardon? Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else willing to renounce a view in the group with witnesses? Sometimes it gives it a little added oomph, you know? Linda.
One thing I really share is I've been reading Joseph Goldstein's latest book, and I'm on the section now about hindrances, and reading that, like, oh my gosh, I now see so clearly that my entire life has been dominated by this one hindrance, you know, oh my god, and this was like yesterday, and all of a sudden my entire view of myself completely shifted, oh my god, I'm completely driven.
Yes. Yes. You can let yourself off the hook. What a relief. How great. I know. I know. I know.
The other, may I say one more?
Yes.
This morning I was thinking about a resentment I had that cropped up almost 20 years ago where someone did something that bothered me, and I said, it bothers me. It was further handled in a way. The way it was handled bothered me even more. So never
Yes.
And this morning I was thinking about it, and then it suddenly popped into my mind, do I really think that she consciously was trying to hurt me? And it was so crystal clear, of course not. You know, of course there was no conscious intention to do something to harm me. And then I immediately thought, did I ever, you know, mistakenly do something that could have hurt someone? Of course, you know, a million times. And as soon as I saw that, clearly it just really swept.
How great. How great. Two-sided wisdom. How great. Thank you. I know. I know. The hindrances can be really oppressive, huh? You know, all the systems that have a tendency to define us, and if you notice, we're always looking for them. Oh, astrology. Oh, the Enneagram. Oh, psychology. Oh, let me see. What is your... You know, we're searching for definition. But we don't need to search very far because all of our behavior shows us where our limitations are. So, without labeling them necessarily. But yeah. Thank you. Does this make sense to you? That you want to be able to... So what about cultivating the intention, like Linda's doing, of on a regular basis examining whenever we feel constricted, what we could drop, what we could clear out, what we could let go of? Is there anything that, a road sign, a roadblock that stands in our way of being able to be smoother about moving from moment to moment through our lives and enhancing our experience of being alive, enhancing our fulfillment, our happiness, our genuine happiness, not the happiness of having a view be reiterated by somebody on TV or somebody that you meet in a coffee shop. Oh, you think the same way that I do. What a relief, you know? Two people trapped. A true folie à deux, right? So, I don't know that I have much more to say. I'm happy to be here. I think it is an auspicious time. I think that this whole crazed holiday season is an attempt to get away from the fact that the days are short, time is dark, it's a little cold. We have, you know, there's an inclination and a direction to go inside and to be reflective and to meditate and to clean our inner house. And instead, the culture wants us to party, to turn all the lights on, to hang out with friends and relatives endlessly. And somehow, it always feels like a great relief to come to New Year's because we realize it's the last party of this season. And January does feel a little dark and dank and uninteresting, but at least we can relax. We don't have to dress up. Things are kind of like going back into their normal routine because we are addicted to routine and the familiar. And no matter how wildly we partied and made our intentions to change everything within a 24-hour period between 13 and 2014, there is this incredible, inexorable, as they say, tendency to fall back into the comfort of the familiar, even though it chokes us. And it's a deadening process. And that's really why I myself persist in meditating, practicing, and why I really encourage other people to do it, because this is the real renewal. It's not in a bottle, it's not in parties. Can be in dancing. I love to dance. Music, dancing, but that's temporary. We don't know how we get from point A to point B. Do we really need Jimi Hendrix, you know? So when we sit, we get from point A to point B fully, consciously. Every breath is noted. And like the little, you know, kids in the fairy tales, we leave behind the gold thread or the bird seed, and hopefully no birds will eat it up. We know how to go back and forth between being snared in the routines and the habituated identifications and liberated for a moment or two in open breathing, open spaciousness, open heartedness, where our very identity of ourselves seem to expand and maybe even dissolve for a moment or more. And we do have the intention of being liberated. That's what liberation means. Dissolution of all views and identification with awareness attending. I know that that's possible to experience. And that is the liberation that practice promises. The dissolution of views and identifications and limitations and definitions of every kind with awareness attending. What would that be? So, my wish for you for 2014 is that you get a taste of that. That you have the zeal to practice and approach that inch by inch, get a taste of that liberation. Because it is the essence of who we are, and it is the true nature of our being, and it is what we're hunting about when we look for identifications in all these different ways of describing our humanity. That seem to give insight for a while, but then have to be expunged themselves. So, I wish that for myself, I wish that for all of you, I wish that for the world. May all beings, in their individual practices, whatever they may be, find the liberation of having views and identifications dissolve and awareness attend in full presence. The miracle of that momentous experience. It is available. There's nothing magical about it. There's a path that one can take to experience it. And that's what we're doing here. And the liberation is not only beneficial to our happiness, but it actually supports the well-being of everybody that is in contact with us. All beings, human and otherwise. So let's just sit for a few minutes and then I'll let you go. Thank you. As they say, see you next year.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.